If you would open your Bibles to Acts chapter 18. Acts 18. I'm going to read our scripture first and then speak on really just one main idea here in this text. There's a lot going on. A lot happens when we look at Acts and the different travels of the Apostle Paul and the other followers of Christ as they are spreading the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. Even much is happening in this passage. And we'll try to bring it all together and sum it up in a main section here in chapter 18 that I believe is where the Lord led me in my heart thinking through this passage. And it has to do with fear, being afraid. Let's read Acts 18, 1 through 17, and then I'll pray. So Paul, who is coming out of Athens, it says, after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. Claudius was the emperor at that time. Had made a decree for all Jews to leave. And he went to see them. Paul went to see Aquila and Priscilla. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments, and he said to them, your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. And he left there and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. Again, a Gentile converted into the Jewish faith, a worshiper of God, as that phrase understands. His house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord, together with his entire household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be afraid, but go on speaking. And do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you. For I have many in this city who are my people. And he stayed a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. One of his longest stays in all of the places he went. But when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him before the tribunal, saying, this man is persuading people to worship God contrary to the law. But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, if it were a matter of wrongdoing or vicious crime, O Jews, I would have reason to accept your complaint. But since it is a matter of questions about words and names and your own law, see to it yourselves. I refuse to be a judge of these things. And he drove them from the tribunal. And they all seized Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him in front of the tribunal. But Gallio paid no attention to any of this. Let's pray as the word of the Lord is used in our hearts this morning. Father God, thank you for your word which directs us. Thank you that we read Psalm 119 that reminds us again and again that your word is good and it tastes good to the mouth when we read it and take it in. Lord, it is powerful. It is the only book that we know that changes lives. There is no other book like it. It is the only book powered by the Holy Spirit himself as he guided and controlled the authors and the writers as they wrote this book. It is the only book with the message that Jesus Christ has come to save sinners. And as the Apostle Paul said, to whom he was the chief of sinner. And Lord, may we humbly come before your word, being able to say too, yes, we need Jesus Christ, our Savior. I was the chief of sinners. I have been changed, saved, rescued. Lord, it is your word that does that. The good news is the climax of your word, and it is all throughout your word. May we be convicted this morning. May we be reminded as we look today that there is no need to fear. In Jesus' name, amen. So, question for you. What are you most scared of? Spiders? I'm the spider. Oh, I shouldn't say this. I'm the spider killer in the home. If they're outside, I let them be. They can have free reign. If they're in the house, I got to take care of it for the sake of my daughter and my wife. But that is not a fear of mine. But what are you afraid of? What was that? Nothing. Kevin, you're getting to the end of the sermon. Come on. The Lord says to Paul, right here in Corinth, do not be afraid. Really? To the Apostle Paul? Many times our fears, though we might say they're unfounded, they feel so real. A lot of them stem not when we're living in the present with people in conversation, but our minds wander to the past. Maybe something that was done that is a fear, or the future, the unknown. We fear what is to come. And yet fear strikes us even in the present. What about those who have maybe a new job? They're starting tomorrow. Or they're being called into the boss's office tomorrow. Or a bill just comes in the mail tomorrow, and you wonder, how will I ever pay for this? Maybe a call comes in about a child of yours or a relative of yours, and you wonder, what is this about? It doesn't sound like the person on the other end is going to give me good news. Or maybe a sports competition is coming up. You're heading into a big week for whatever competition you have, a tournament, and there's fear. Final grades are coming out. Fear. Will I get accepted into a school? What about marriage? What about hearing for the first time a tough diagnosis in health? What could it be that might trigger in us this moment, this what I would call, and as Paul calls, a spirit of fear, as the Apostle Paul writes? Well, to kind of briefly go through our story, God comes to Paul first off and says, do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you. What do we do with this spirit of fear? We take it to the Word of God. We take it in prayer. We don't need to use special words. We just say, Lord, I'm afraid right now. And the Word of God and His truth comes in and brings us peace amidst the fear, assurance amidst the fear, And the Lord says, as he tells the Apostle Paul even here, I am with you. I have chosen you. And specifically here, I have many in this city who are my people. What God is telling the Apostle Paul and what he tells us in that is, I am fully in control. And I have good purposes for you. I am with you. I have chosen you. I have good purposes for you. We take our fears in light of those truths in the Word of God. Well, a little testimony of what Paul is experiencing here in Corinth comes even from the books he wrote in 1 and 2 Corinthians. Let me just read a little bit of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Here's Paul reminding the church how he came into Corinth. And so we get a little bit of a glimpse of why God even says, Apostle Paul, do not be afraid. Look at how Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. What a great message to have. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul comes into Corinth and he says, I wasn't impressive. In fact, when I came into Corinth, as we read, I found Aquila and Priscilla doing the work that I did. I joined them and started to work. I had to pay my bills. Paul was a bivocational preacher, working, going to the synagogues on Sunday, working, going to the synagogues. He needed to make a living. Maybe he ran into Corinth and said, My cash flow is low. I come in weakness and in fear and in trembling. Lord, are you with me? Was he thinking possibly, all these cities I've been coming through, I've been receiving persecution. Now I'm in Corinth. Lord, is there going to be more? Will there be worse that comes to me here? God, are you here with me? We don't know Paul's fear. All we know is the moment he comes in, he's thinking, I got to start working. Finds Aquila and Priscilla. They're mentioned in Scripture as future ministry partners. We don't know if they were saved at this time, and that's what brought this unity together, but obviously through the tent-making process, so Paul was a tent maker, sewed tent canvas all day long. That was his job. He met Aquila and Priscilla, tent makers. Maybe through the work, he shared Christ. Maybe through the work, these fears grew. Lord, are you going to provide in this new city of mine? On Sunday, he'd take a break, go to the synagogue, preach God's word. It says every Sabbath he tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. Silas and Timothy finally come. They're his partners in ministry, his encouragers. So Paul gives more of his attention to the preaching of the word. When Silas and Timothy come, Scripture says they were coming from another church, bringing aid and help to Paul at this time. And it says that Paul became occupied with the word of God. He said, okay, my needs are being met. The Lord is providing for me. Now I'm going to preach his good news. What happens, the Jews As we have seen throughout Acts, they reject the good news of Jesus Christ. And what Paul says to the Jews is that he shook his garments, and even as Jesus told his disciples, shake the dust off your feet, show the sign of rejection. He said to the Jews, your blood be on your own hands. I'm sorry, your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. He goes right next door. Is in the house of Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue. Crispus hears the gospel. A worshiper of God, yet a Gentile. And he says, Jesus is the way. And he accepts the gospel. His whole household, it says. And many Corinthians begin to believe and are baptized. So Paul goes maybe from a new city, fearful, wondering what's happening. God says, the word of God is going to produce fruit in Corinth as well. The Jews reject, but Crispus and many other Corinthians start believing. There's baptisms. And then look at what the Lord says. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be afraid. At the height of Paul seeing God do work, even amidst good things and successful things, there's somehow this underlying fear of Paul. Isn't that true? Not all the time under trial do we receive this spirit of fear, of wondering what's going to be next. Sometimes even when the Lord is working, when there's good things happening, maybe when we've spent our energy on something good, we come off of that and we're exhausted and tired. And somehow, even with that success, comes this fear. Lord, is this everyone? I've not been able to minister to the Jews. There's Crispus, maybe a few other Corinthians. And fear sinks in for Paul. But the Lord says, do not be afraid. God says this to his servants throughout Scripture. Let me just share a few. He said this to Abraham in Genesis 15. When Abraham starts his journey, the Lord says, do not fear, Abraham, for I am with you. I will make your name great, and your children and your children's children will be like the stars in the heavens. God comes to Abraham and says, do not fear. And he gives Abraham promises. He does this with Moses in Exodus 20:20. Do not fear, Moses. You will go into Egypt and free my people out of Egypt. Joshua, you remember that familiar story. Joshua 1, chapter 1, verse 9. Be strong and courageous, Joshua, for I am with you. Joshua was about to take over the leadership of Moses, lead the people into the promised land. Do not be afraid, God says to Joshua. Isaiah 41:10, I love this verse. Isaiah 41:10. When I read this and I am afraid, it's a beautiful verse that Isaiah penned. This is God speaking. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. In other words, do not be overtaken. Do not be without hope, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What about you today? Maybe you're not in fear. Maybe you're in trial. Maybe things are difficult. That verse is for you as well. Fear not. I am with you. I am upholding you with my hands. Okay, go on and on. Romans 8:31 in the New Testament says, if God is for you, who can be against you? Just take that promise of the Lord this week. Think about it over and over. If God is for me, who can be against me? Hebrews 13:5 through 6 says, I will not fear. What can man do to me? For my God, he is with me. Hebrews 13:5 through 6. We know the all-familiar Philippians 3:14, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 3:14. And I'll end with this, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In our spirit of fear, we go to God. And even as we're looking here in Acts 18, if we don't go to God, God sometimes comes and tells us, do not be afraid. Through his word, we open it up, and he tells us, I have everything under control. That's what he did with Paul. He came to Paul. He knew Paul's fears, and he says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. I like this picture for you who've been mothers and have babies. It's the mother knows and is conscious of the love she has for the baby. She protects it and cares for it and wants to take care of it. But the baby has no clue about the thoughts of mom. The baby is not looking up and thinking, oh, you want to protect me and you love me. He's just, give me food. Give me comfort. Make me happy. In many ways, it's a great picture of when we are in fear. Sometimes all we're thinking is, help, Lord, get me out of this. And the Lord has that adult perspective. I've always cared for you. I've always loved you. I will protect you. I will take care of you like a mother to a child. He wants to tell us that even if we are in fear. Help, Lord, get me out. I have everything in control. You don't need to worry. Like a mother to a child. God's promise of do not be afraid can be heard because of his presence. For I am with you. He is never going to leave. As Jesus Christ stated in Matthew 28:20, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Our great Savior, the one who came to die for us, gave us the best promise of all, that he is not leaving those who have trusted in Jesus Christ. We are his children. And he says, I am with you always. Through the Spirit he's given us, he's with us. I sometimes even took this to, you know, I don't think I was being deranged, but when I went into Seattle downtown, sometimes I just prayed, Lord, make me a light and a witness in downtown Seattle. And what gave me boldness and courage was just to think, what if Jesus was with me? Walking with my steps, saying, I am with you, Paul. You can speak the truth. You can encourage these people. And he was like a brother, arm in arm with me, walking into these situations. I really believe that's what Jesus says in those words, I am with you always. Think about that this week. Now, don't go crazy. He's not really in your passenger seat, but he is promised to you. He is with you always. When you go grocery shopping, when you go to the bank, when you sit down in your place of work, or you're working with your hands, or you're outside, remembering Jesus is with me. I have nothing to fear. Secondly, he's not just with us. That's not the only thing that calms our fears, but he has chosen us. look at Acts chapter 9, just a few chapters before Acts 18. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, we won't read the whole testimony of when the Lord meets Paul on the road to Damascus. But look at verse 15. Here is Ananias coming to comfort this blind Paul. And in verse 15 it says, "But the Lord said to him," to Ananias, because Ananias was saying, "You want me to go to Saul, the persecutor of the church? The one who kills Christians? God, are you sure you're not confused?" "No. But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name.'" God had a plan and a purpose for the Apostle Paul. Paul might have been afraid. "God, is this really what you have purpose for me, to speak to the Gentiles? Is this suffering going to go on?" And what does God tell him? "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent." God needs to remind Paul, "I have given you the gift to tell others of Jesus Christ." Do you remember Acts chapter 9, Apostle Paul? Remember those words when I said, "Go, for you are a chosen instrument of mine to speak of me to the Gentiles and to kings and to those in authority and to the Jews." Do you remember that promise? He tells the Apostle Paul, "Do not be afraid. Go on speaking, for I have chosen you. This is the purpose I gave you." What is it, the gift that you might have? What is it, the strength and the thing that you bring that encourages others, that gives them strength or them encouragement, or the joy that you have that you can pass on and give joy to others? God says, "Apostle Paul, this is what I gifted you. Use that gift. Go on speaking." Paul was being tempted to stop. The language there in the original is one of, "Do not stop speaking. Do not entertain the thought of staying silent." Maybe this was just a temptation of, "Lord, I'm just gonna kind of be quiet now. I think I've done enough. Fear is overtaking me. I'm getting timid, and I don't know if I can keep speaking for you." The Lord says, "Do not be afraid. I am with you. Go on speaking." Why does he give him this command? Apostle Paul, keep on speaking. Because he gives him another promise. "For I have many in this city who are mine." God has done this throughout Scripture to prophets, to Moses in Exodus 4:12. He said, "I will be your mouth, Moses." To Joshua, who is taking over leadership, God says, "I will speak through you. Thus says the Lord." Isaiah, a prophet, and all the prophets, God gives to them a promise in Isaiah 58:1. He tells Isaiah, "Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Be a herald of the good news, because I am with you, Isaiah." Paul is a chosen instrument, a preacher to the Gentiles. Jesus tells us, "I will be with you always. I will give you the words to speak." God has given each one of us different tasks and gifts. Maybe we need to come back to that truth when we are in fear. For me, this clear recollection comes to mind. When I was a teenager, in my own youth group, some other teenagers would just ask me, what's this mean in the Bible? And for some reason, I just had this excitement of wanting to work with them in that question and look at the text and try to help explain. Or maybe both of us came away and said, we need to look at this more and we need to go and study. But I've just always had this desire to come alongside and help someone in the truth, to hopefully make things clear, to not muddy the waters even more. And that still is my prayer even now. I have to go back to that sometimes when I am afraid, or when I doubt, or when I am exhausted and I look to the future and it overwhelms me. Maybe the Apostle Paul was looking to what was ahead and it overwhelmed him. Or looking at maybe such a small beginnings of a Corinthian church and it discouraged him. We're not sure why the fear came and what was all involved in this fear. But it's good to look at what is God, how has he used me through the time that I've known him? What has he gifted me to do in people's lives? How has he used my life as an instrument of his, chosen? Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts. So the question is, what skill, what task might the Lord be giving to you? And I love this last promise that God gives to Paul. For I have many in this city who are my people. And Paul stays another year and 6 months. This promise of God encourages him to continue for the long haul. This is one of the longest times he stays in any city. I believe it is, because the Lord said, Paul, I have many more in Corinth that are going to be saved. Jesus is going to do a mighty work through the good news. Corinth was, it had phrases. To be like a Corinthian was to mean that you were kind of immoral, a raucous, irresponsible, destructive. Oh, that person's like a Corinthian. That was the phrase that they used around those days. It's because this was the hub of northern Greece, southern Greece, the two straits that connected the Mediterranean Sea to Italy, came right through this isthmus that they created in Corinth. So Corinth became this naval hub, this land hub. Everyone came through Corinth. So you could imagine every kind of thing was seen in this city. Every good thing, every immoral thing. At the top of the temple, on the highest point of Corinth, was a worship of the goddess Aphrodite, the goddess of love and pleasure. There were 1,000 women using what God has given them toward immorality, using it towards sin. So here's a little picture of this city. I have many in this city who are my people. You could maybe understand Paul going, Lord, really, Corinth? Are you going to do a great work in this immoral city? In this hustling, bustling, crazy life? And I'm just the Apostle Paul. And God says, yes, I have many more who are my people. This should be a promise for us who fear. God has many more stories, people's lives that you will touch, that you will come in contact with. Just even in the next 5 years, who will you see? Who will you be a part of? How could you be an influence? And to remember As God told the Apostle Paul, God tells us, I have many more that will be a part of his kingdom. I need to sometimes just get into the bigger picture, remembering his kingdom is bigger than me, myself, and I. His kingdom is bigger even than right now with who he has in our church, that he has many more. We have to believe that by faith and be excited about that. Who might it be that God will put into your path, one of those many more who will be God's chosen person? We need to have the kingdom of God mindset. He is our shield in faith. He is our rock and fortress. He will sustain us even under trial, like 1 Peter 5:10, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace will restore and strengthen and establish you. He is with you. He has chosen you. And he gives this promise to the Apostle Paul, and he gives it to us. There are many more still who will turn to Jesus Christ. Today, are you in fear? Is there something that's a weight, a burden, something difficult? The Lord says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. You are a chosen instrument of mine. I will do mighty works, and I will use you to be a light to many more who are my children. He tells that to Paul, and as they close this story, Paul goes before trial. The Jews rile up another crowd, bring him before Gallio the tribunal, and even before Paul has to give a defense, the tribunal dismisses the case. The language says, as Paul's about to speak, as I see it, the Lord says, Paul, do not fear. I'm taking care of this situation. The tribunal says, this is about the Jews and your laws. This is not about violence or a civil matter. Dismiss the case. And Paul, the Lord is with me. The Lord has my hand. The Lord is carrying me under his mighty, powerful hands. I pray that that encourages all of us this week. We do not need to be afraid. Maybe we wonder about our job. We wonder about our kids. The Lord is with you. Pray for those situations, for the Lord to be there as well. Pray that the Lord will use you and your gifts and skills as he used the Apostle Paul to bring the light of Jesus Christ to many more. For us here in Pleasant Hill, in Dexter, in Lowell, in Cresswell, and all the area around, the Lord says, I have many more in this city who are my people. And we say, Lord Jesus, bring those people into your family. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, your word is powerful. Your gospel is powerful. And the good news of Jesus Christ is not an easy message, and it can bring fear into our own lives. It can make us timid, maybe as the Apostle Paul might have been timid and wanted to be silent. It might make us lose hope, this spirit of fear. It might make us wonder if really God is in control. But Lord, you remind me, you remind us all that you are with me. You have given me certain gifts and tasks. You have given me a purpose. And there is still work to be done. There are many more in this city And Lord, I pray that prayer. May there be many more in Pleasant Hill and in the surrounding areas who through us will come to know Jesus Christ. And Lord, maybe there is one in this room today that needs to hear that they are a sinner and they have fallen short of the glory of God. And they cannot work themselves out of that. They cannot improve themselves no matter how many self-improvement projects they go on. And they don't need to try to work themselves to God. God has come to us in Jesus Christ. He went to the cross for our sin. And the good news is that God has done all that needs to be done on our behalf. He died in our place. He forgives our sin when we trust in Jesus Christ. And we are given the righteousness of God. Lord, if there is one today who needs to turn and trust in Jesus Christ, Lord, would they right now pray and say, Lord, may that be the truth this morning. I am a sinner. I confess my sins. I need a Savior. I need to turn and repent and look to Jesus, the one who can save me. And God promises that salvation will come to that person who confesses and believes. So Lord, may the many that you have in Pleasant Hill, may we be used as lights to go in and share the good news to them. In Jesus' name, amen.